I know that we are time crunched and I know we want to get our team members out as fast as we possibly can. But if they don't have that time to develop, if they don't have the time to build the confidence and they don't have a structure around how to do that, then we're throwing them to the wolves. It's sink or swim, right? Throw them out there, see what they do. And then we'll deal with the complaints when they come through Backlooper.
Welcome to the Attraction Pros Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends and challenges facing the attractions industry today.
We chat with some of the top leaders in the field and provide resources that will help develop your career in this great industry.
I am Josh Liebman, founder of Backlooper. I help attractions collect guest feedback and identify top priorities needed for improvement.
And I'm Matt Heller, founder of Performance Optimist Consulting. I help leaders lead so they can increase employee engagement and retention.
Now sit upright, hold on tight, and get ready for the Attraction Pros Podcast. Hey, Matt, how's it going?
It's fantastic, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Glad to hear that everything is fantastic. As usual, I'm really excited for today's episode because this is a little bit of a different structure from our usual podcast content, kind of a reversal of the flow of our normal interview style that our audience is so used to.
Well, we get to be on the other side of the microphone this time where we are being interviewed by the fine folks at CreativeWorks. This was part of their Amusement 360 event that happened a few weeks ago. And we got to talk about things that we're pretty passionate about, things like leadership and guest service and really the relationship between the two.
And what I think is really cool about this conversation and this interview, and it's something that, you know, we've brought it up a couple of times on previous podcast episodes of how aligned and how similar so many concepts are in guest experience, which is kind of my primary area of focus and expertise and passion, and then employee experience and leadership, which of course is your expertise and your passion, and really linking those together and seeing how so many of the philosophies are almost directly applied to each other.
Absolutely. And I think what's interesting is a lot of the organizations that I've worked for and worked with, they really look at them as different, right? They say, well, this is our guest philosophy and this is our employee philosophy. And in some cases, they're very, very different. But what I try to encourage people to do, and I think we're going to definitely cover in this discussion, is let's get those together, right? I mean, your guests are human beings, your employees are human beings, right? If you're talking about guest loyalty, wouldn't it make sense that the same things that would drive guest loyalty would also drive employee loyalty, right? Because you're still getting that human being to want to be with you and be a part of your organization in some way, shape, or form. So similar tactics could be used. And I think that's one of the things that we definitely get to talk about in this interview.
Right. One thing that I've heard many organizations refer to their employees as internal customers or internal guests, which really, I would say, aligns with a lot of what we're going to talk about today, that the same way you would treat your guests, you treat your employees. And the difference is, and actually in our interview with Joel Manby not too long ago, he gave a great quote that said the enthusiasm that your guests have should never be as high as the enthusiasm for your employees. So your employees' enthusiasm should always be higher than your guests' enthusiasm, which is interesting and probably counterintuitive to what a lot of people think. But if you think about it, if that trickles down to the guests, then it gets them more engaged. And of course, they're the ones who are spending money, but the employees are the ones who are delivering that experience. So this will be a really interesting conversation and kind of a nice change of pace to be, like you said, on the other side of the microphone for a change Danny and Russ from over at CreativeWorks.
Welcome to the Amusement 360 event presented by CreativeWorks. You are on your way to learning the keys to maximize revenue and profits for your entertainment business. This presentation is an interview with Josh Liebman and Matt Heller, founders of Attraction Pros. Get ready for actionable tips and real takeaways that you can apply to your business. Here are your Amusement 360 hosts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to day two of Amusement 360. My name is Danny Gruning. I am the VP of Marketing at CreativeWorks, and I'm joined once again by Russ Van Natta.
Hello, I'm the VP of Business Development here at CreativeWorks, and we are so excited to be kicking off day two. As you guys know, today is a lot about operations and kind of rolling up our sleeves and what's been working and what hasn't. And we couldn't think of a better way to kick it off than with Matt Heller and Josh Liebman to be able to talk to us, one, of their own individual experiences and professional background within the industry across the board, but as well as their concentrated efforts that they do together with the Attraction Pros podcast. And so would love to, Matt, let's start with you. Just give us a quick rundown of your pedigrees, so to speak. And then Josh will follow up with you after that.
Well, sure. Thank you so much, Danny and Russ, for having us today. I've been in the attractions industry for about 31 years. I started as a ride operator and kind of worked my way up. I won't go through all 31 years, but basically started at the beginning, or started at the front lines, and worked my way up through leadership in a number of different facilities. Spent some time with the Cedar Fair family and also Universal in Orlando. In 2011, I started my own company called Performance Optimist Consulting, and now I get to work with leaders all across the attractions industry, just making sure that they have the tools, resources, and support that, so that they can be the best they can be.
Nice. Nice. Josh, how about you?
Excellent. Yeah, good morning. Thanks so much for having us on. So I've been in the industry a little over 15 years. Worked for Cedar Fair. I've worked for Disney, Universal, a few other parks. I'm currently the founder of Backlooper, which helps operators collect additional guest feedback so they're able to learn about operational concerns and flaws before they learn about them from online reviews and from social media. So it helps strengthen their reputation. And as you guys know, Matt and I are the co-hosts of the Attraction Pros podcast.
Yeah, I love that. So one, I just had the opportunity to be on the Attraction Pros podcast, and I absolutely just, when Matt and Josh and I get together, we definitely nerd out hard on theories and strategies and how do we actually take this and do something with it. And then we were thinking, gosh, we really need to just have a deep dive, another deep dive on some of this, you know, specific as part of the 360 content.
So I will say too that Russ is excited because if I'm not mistaken, he's the first guest on your podcast come back a second time. Is that right?
He's a repeat offender. Yeah.
Now the question with everyone talking about the last dance from the Chicago Bulls, is he going to three-peat at some point?
We'll see.
I don't know. We'll see. The first two were okay. So he's got to get it right the third time.
Yeah. Third time's the charm for that.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Well, with today and the different focuses that you guys have, what one, taking that guest feedback, and one, being able to accurately collect and bring it in, but then actually turning that into actionable steps that we do something with within our staff, I think is the big focus that we want to drive into today. And so I'm so looking forward to this. And we've got a couple of questions, but as the viewers have questions too, we'll interject that. Like, we are all about the rabbit hole, so we will dive down and explore these things so that way we can make sure it's as tailored to the guests as possible. But
Before we hop into the questions, I will say specifically to everyone here watching, if you do have any questions for Matt or Josh in the Whova app in the session Q&A, please put your questions in there. People can upvote it. And throughout, we'll be checking it out on our computers here to the side and pulling some of the most applicable questions and throwing them out there. So if you want your question asked, make sure you put it in there. And I'll go ahead and start with the first one, which just simply, how often should facilities be trying to solicit feedback from both guests and employees?
Sure. Matt, do you want to take that first?
Sure. So I think one of the things that organizations think about when it comes to guest feedback or employee feedback is that, you know, we'll do the once a year, feedback, and then we'll take that and we'll enact that throughout the entire year. And I think that's kind of short-sighted because we're not getting enough of that feedback. I know Josh talks about getting feedback all the time from guests and having as many data points as you can. So I think if you're not gathering it at least quarterly from your team, and you know, this also depends on how big your facility is. If you have a smaller facility, you should be gathering this much more often as you're talking to people. And it doesn't have to be a formal survey either. It can just be informal conversations and kind of put that one away. And we can enact on that one a little bit later, but I think we should always be in that mode of looking for data, and also, and I'm sure we'll get into this later, doing something with it. So I think that's one of the big challenges is, you know, especially for a larger organization, you survey everybody once a year and then you take that year to put it into place, but things can change over time. So I'm a big proponent of, you know, whatever is applicable for your facility is doing it as often as you possibly can to make sure you have enough data points.
Yeah. And from the guest side of it, the answer is very similar in terms of as often as you can. You know, Matt mentioned the once a year employee review. You know, I see a lot of attraction saying we're doing our annual or maybe our twice a year guest survey. And yeah, you're going to get a lot of data points and you're going to get a lot of information from it. But, you know, what's the shelf life on that specific information? The other side of it is really not just looking at the data or the feedback side of it, but the guest experience component of it as well, that every single guest that comes to visit your facility has something to say about it, whether it's good, bad, neutral, whether they're going to tell you directly, whether they're going to tell their friends, whether they're going to post an online review. So every single guest should have the ability or that prompt for some form of feedback. Now, that can be a component of both that on-site duration while they are experiencing it, because if they do have feedback there, hopefully you're able to make some quick changes that impact the rest of that guest's experience. I deal a lot in the post-visit feedback component of it. So in terms of guests who visit should receive some form of prompt for feedback after their visit. So they have the opportunity. It helps them engage further with the organization. It helps the organization be able to serve their needs more directly while also collecting data that helps them make improvements for the future.
And it's interesting that you mentioned, both of you kind of touched on, if you only do this once a year, a lot can change in a year. A lot can change in less time than that. If you did your guest or employee survey in January, well, when March rolled around, things changed a lot. Right. And so I think that's a really good example of needing to do things a little bit more often than that.
Yeah, that data would be expired by now. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's a short shelf life. Yeah. Well, and so one of the things that sometimes it feels daunting where you can come to different events and things and like, okay, I've got 12 different things and they've all got to be these huge pieces and all of that. And I think what's important to remember is, okay, let's stop and let's eat this elephant one bite at a time. And I think that the biggest thing that we talked about yesterday that ties over to this is what is an automated process and system that you can put in place in order to ensure that you are consistently getting that feedback and that engagement, putting some, you know, standard timeframes of what you're going to be doing. Now, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Matt, like sometimes it's, you know, sometimes you're just going to be walking through and soliciting feedback from both guests and from your staff members and trying to just, you know, just see what's going on. Some of it's going to be regular mystery shopping. Some of it's going to be surveys. Some of it's, you know, some of it's going to be performance reviews. But I think sometimes it's the unsolicited feedback. If you have a system in place to kind of get quote unquote unsolicited feedback outside of a formal setting, a lot of times, in my opinion, that can be some of the most valuable that's there. And so if it's a party host or an event manager or someone that's doing an after action review of, okay, what went well, what didn't go well, and what are things that we could do to improve on the future, like standardizing and documenting these types of things. So that way we can go back, we can look at what trends are happening, but that way we don't have to go, oh crap, I forgot to get this. Like what are some, you know, dummy proof or kind of ease of access that we can just make this part of the process to solicit and get this feedback in? And so I think one of the things that with that is, you know, Matt, when you're looking at things from a staff training and leadership development perspective, what are some of the different ways that you look at that? Are there some just really good questions that you've come across that tend, you know, sometimes when you're doing these reviews or soliciting this information, it's like a third grader asking them what they learned at school today, and they'll just shrug their shoulders and say nothing. Like, what are some ways that you've seen to tease some of that, you know, good content out of your frontline troops?
Well, Russ, I think you hit on something that's really important, is that you've got to build a relationship with them, you know, before you're asking these questions. So if you're my brand new employee and you've been with me for a week and I say, Russ, how are things going? They're fine. They're good. Right? You don't know if you can trust me yet to share something that might be, you know, you might see it as negative toward the organization or towards me as a leader. So first of all, we have to kind of build that relationship. And then I think it's about asking the questions consistently. And quite frankly, this gets back to, you know, having a lot of data points. So if I'm asking you your first week, Russ, how are things going? Yeah, it's fine. Then I ask you the second week, Russ, how are things going? Well, yeah, it's still pretty fine, right? Third week, fourth week. Now you're starting to think, okay, he's consistent about asking me, so he really does care. Mm. So I'm going to feel better about actually sharing that information. So I think from an employee standpoint, even though we have short seasons sometimes, we have to play the long game when it comes to the, you know, gathering that feedback and having some of those conversations, I think is really, really critical. So from you know, if you're my direct report, I'm asking you those questions. But if you're also a leader, I expect you to be asking your direct reports those same exact questions.
So as a follow-up to that, Matt, I wonder if the way that you phrase that question could also help change the way that we solicit feedback. Because it's, if how are things going, it's super easy for someone to say, well, fine, good, something like that. But have you had experience or seen operators do things like, hey, tell me one thing that's going well and one thing that you're struggling with?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the word choice is really important there. I'm a fan of using kind of three specific questions. First of all, Danny, how are you? So I want to know how Danny is, right? And then I might say, like you said, tell me something that's going well with the team. So now I want you to give me some input about what's going well with the team. And then once I've kind of gathered that, I can also turn that back around and say, tell me something that you think could be improved with the team or with the working conditions. So it's a little bit more specific. But then I'm also a fan of now asking, okay, how can I help? Right? So now it's not just about what I'm asking from them. I'm sharing with them that I'm here to help as well. So again, this goes back to the consistency. If I'm asking these questions over and over again, and hey, this is the fifth week in a row that he's asked me how I can help, he must really mean it. He must really want to help. So that helps open them up as well.
And Josh, to your on your side of that coin, the quality of the questions will dictate the quality of the answers that you get back. What are some of the things that you're seeing? I mean, obviously you've pushed and kind of started this new frontier specifically about this. So what are some of the things that you're looking at that you feel like, gosh, operators are just really missing the ball when it comes to getting feedback from the guests, like in these areas? What are some of those kind of common pitfalls that if you had a magic wand, you're like, man, we can solve a lot of problems if we start addressing these things?
Yeah, absolutely. So similar to kind of what Matt said, as far as building that relationship with the individual, although when you're talking about it from the guest, it really needs to be compacted down, because maybe like just like if it's their first day on the job with the employee, this could be their first time visiting your attraction. So you haven't built up that rapport with them. So specifically getting, you know, directly to what it is that you are looking for. When we're talking about, hey, how's it going? Fine. I mean, think about every single time, you know, you dine in just about every restaurant, you know, hopefully the manager's coming over at one point doing those table touches, saying, how's everything going? And I think that it's like this little, almost like this rehearsed kind of little dance. How's everything going? Fine. How's everything going? Fine. You know, on to the next one. So if you phrase the question a little bit differently, you might get some different responses. I'll give you an example. I was renting a car with Alamo. This was, I think it was like back in February, just prior to, you know, everything shutting down. When I returned the car, the gentleman who was just kind of processing the return kind of went through the administrative functions of it, miles, gas, all of that. And then instead of saying, how was everything with your car rental, he specifically asked, what could we have done to have made your experience better? And I actually sat there for a second and I thought about it and I said, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but if I do, I'll definitely let you know. And I took the shuttle back to the airport. I'm on the plane and I'm thinking, I actually feel really bad that I didn't have an answer to the question, because I wish I could say, oh, this could have, you know, made my experience a little bit better. But as far as my perception of it, it actually was exactly as expected in my mind. But if there was something that maybe I wouldn't have said, this probably would have been the prompt to say that. So asking that question, phrasing it in the terms of not even a yes or no question, not is there anything that could have made it better, because then that, you know, elicits that reflexive, nope, everything's fine, but specifically saying what could we have done better, I will say is a surefire way to get more guest complaints. And I mean that in a good way, because it gives the guest the opportunity to share their feedback in really what is this safe space. It's not saying, hey, if you have any complaints, you know, post it on TripAdvisor or Google Reviews and we'll read about it and we'll respond it there. It's saying, hey, while we still have you within our domain, we've got the opportunity to have this conversation. And this reminds me of several years ago, I was the assistant GM at an FEC and I was walking around and there was a woman sitting on a bench right outside the bumper boats, and I could just tell she wasn't having a good time. Like, she was just like kind of, she didn't have the face of a guest who I wanted to see while walking around the park. And, you know, I walked up to her and I said, hey, you know, how's everything going? And, you know, she said, it's fine. I said, are you sure? Is there anything that you know, or what can we do to make it better? And she goes, oh, nothing. Don't worry about it. It's fine. So now she's given me the signal that something is wrong, but she doesn't want to be labeled as a complainer, right? So she's saying, no, I don't want to complain because I don't want to put the burden on you. And we talked about it for, you know, for a few more minutes. And eventually I got her to open up on whatever it was that was frustrating her. To be honest, I don't remember what that issue was, but I was able to resolve that. And then I was able to really see that shift into that satisfaction and that appreciation that I asked for her feedback, and that I was able to actually resolve the issue. So I took it upon myself in that moment to say, here's an issue that I've got the opportunity to fix, and I want to do that, even if the guest doesn't think it's a big deal, because she's not having the experience that we expect, you know, guests to have, which means she's probably going to take away a negative memory that will probably not translate into a future visit and would probably translate into negative word of mouth of, yeah, you know, the experience was fine, but this happened and I don't think we'll be back soon. So I was able to intervene in that and be able to respond to that by specifically asking that question of really giving the guest the opportunity to complain and share that.
Well, one thing that I'm hearing as a little bit of a parallel between both perspectives is, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, was how are you humanizing your company? And it, humanizing your brand seems like it's a clinical thing that you're really just doing. It's like lip service. Like, and so I don't want folks to think like, how do you humanize your brand? Like, that is bullshit. So what I want you to do is I want you to look at like, how are we getting across the fact that we genuinely care? And so sticking with it, Matt, when you were talking about being consistent with it and asking better questions, and Josh, like not letting them off the hook with a fine answer and really peeling back the layers of that and showing like we do, like we're asking because we genuinely care and we want to be better for you and for all of the other guests, like putting that into the process, both for the employees and for the guests, is I would feel would have a dramatically more impact, like a larger impact on the amount of data points that you get back, and remembering that those are, you know, are really valuable, just so you can see, okay, what's a one-time weird thing that we came across? What's something that we're actually kind of trending on and we need to keep tabs? And so that to me is the big thing, is how do you take that why and that purpose that you have, and if you're actually living that why, how do you infuse that? And it can be put into every single aspect of the business, I feel. And, oh, go ahead, Danny.
Well, I wanted to follow up on something that Josh had said with the example that you gave of the person sitting outside the bumper carts or whatever it was, the bumper cars, and you kind of worked through that process with them because you're experienced and you got some reps under your belt and you could tell there's something there that's not quite right. Is that role something that should be reserved for management? And if so, or if not, how do you train a 16, 17, 20-year-old to be able to do that process that you did?
Yeah. So this is really where it's focusing on reading between the lines. And, you know, I think it really falls into the realm of anticipating guests' needs. And this is something that should absolutely be incorporated into frontline training, that guests will not always, and you know, this could be in terms of guest complaints, or this could be in terms of just any type of general guest assistance, that guests don't know what they don't know, because you guys, the frontline staff of the operation, you are the experts at everything going on here. You know how guests can have the best experience. Guests might not know to ask for that. So with the woman in this scenario here, had she had the proficiency that not only I had, but that the frontline staff had, maybe she would have said, hey, can you help me out and can you help me fix this? But because she was just there, you know, as a general visitor, as maybe a first-time guest, she doesn't know what we know. And sometimes we need to go beyond the, I would say, the mechanical points of just the job duties. You know, if any other employee is walking by, they're their job duty is to get from point A to point B. Maybe they're coming back from break. Maybe they're going, you know, back over to the go-karts or to the, you know, frog hopper or whatever it is. And yeah, if I see any guests, if any guests stop me on my way, I'll offer my assistance. The restroom is that way. The cafe is that way. Arcade Redemption's over here. But they wouldn't necessarily always think to look at what questions aren't being asked. So that is absolutely something that should be emphasized in frontline training to say, hey, this is actually something that will go above and beyond your guest's expectation. If you are walking up to guests, this could be, when it's talking about guest complaints, this could be a family who, you know, the dad is taking the picture and you're walking up and you're offering to take the photo for them. So you're offering the assistance that you know will benefit the guest that they might not think to ask for.
And I think that that comes into a really just how are we reinforcing our staff to be active and present instead of just, you know, kind of next in line. You know, I always think of that, the Jurassic Park reboot with Chris Pratt and that poor kid that's just getting people in the gerbil balls, like the gerbil ball go-karts and things. He's like, have a great day. Thanks. And blah, blah. And then they close the ride and he's like, come on guys, I just work here. Like, how do we get away from that just checked out mentality? And whether it's in role playing on regular like staff training events or in the hiring process and looking for those kinds of things. But, you know, it's that is not a inherent skill set that a lot of people have just in general. And especially when we're pulling from a younger hiring pool as well, I think it takes a lot of cultivating to put that into place. And, you know, Matt, what are some things that you've seen that are really helpful? One, I mean, I would imagine the screening process, but then how are you actively manifesting those types of behaviors, you know, with the groups that you work with?
Sure. So I feel like I'm going to be beating the consistency drum a lot today. but it's true because you have a 16-year-old first time on the job and you're asking them to handle a situation like Josh has got all these years of experience. And now we're asking them to handle that situation or to be so aware of their own place in the facility and what they can do. And to me, it is about consistency. It's about the initial training is really critical to kind of set the expectation. But then also, and Russ, you mentioned it, like in morning meetings, to continue to go over those things. And, you know, in lifeguarding, we have in-services that you have to do, right? To maintain your certification, you have to do these in-services. And so I know a lot of places have taken that model and said, well, if we can do in-services for lifeguards and we've budgeted for it and we've put the time aside for it, why can't we do that for guest service, right? It's just a different way for us to invest our time and invest our money and look at the outcome that it can provide us. So I think consistently reinforcing those things really helps build people's confidence. And I'll share a quick story. When I first went to Universal, I was there as the senior trainer of leadership development. So I was in an HR admin role, but I wasn't all that familiar with the parks. So out on, you know, on my lunch breaks, I would go walk the parks and I wanted to get more and more familiar with you know, where things were, where the nearest ice cream was, all that kind of fun stuff. And in the very beginning, and I had already been in the industry for like 20 years, right? But in the beginning, I was even a little nervous to walk up to someone with a map. And I know that's the cue, right? Somebody's got a map. You go up to them and you say, what can I help you find, right? And so I was even a little nervous because I didn't have the confidence that I was going to be able to answer that question. So a 16-year-old encountering that same thing that Josh did may not have the confidence yet to go up to that person and say, what can I do to help you? Because they're not sure of the answer yet. So I think that, again, that's where consistency comes in. Continuing to role play, get them in situations where you can tap into teaching moments. What went well with that situation? What didn't go so well? How can we make that better in the future? And keep those kind of conversations going so that you can build people's confidence and competence to not only want to do it, but they're able to do it. And I think that's a huge part of it. And again, it's consistency. So if you want to encapsulate everything I'm going to say today, Russ, it's about consistency.
Well, I think that wraps it up then for the day.
Well, so there's something that Eric Baker asked that goes hand in hand with what you just mentioned. And when it comes to building that confidence and getting some of those reps under the belt, do you think that having a new employee as part of their onboarding process, maybe shadowing more experienced employees, shadowing a trainer, shadowing a manager, while they go and do these walking around the guests, what can I help you find? What do you need? All those kinds of things, and purposely putting them in these situations and seeing, what the manager or the trainer asks, how the guests respond, and start seeing that back and forth before they start doing it on their own?
100%, absolutely. I had a gentleman that I was going to be working with at Universal. I ended up not working in his department, but he told me when he first started working at the Disney store, all he did was he stood at the entrance, and for 2 weeks, he just greeted people. That's all he did. And for, you know, 90% of his shift, there was either a trainer or a manager with him, right? So that's all he did. And he saw how they did it. And then he got to practice it. And then he got some feedback on it. So I know that we are time crunched. And I know we want to get our team members out as fast as we possibly can. But if they don't have that time to develop, if they don't have the time to build the confidence and they don't have a structure around how to do that, then we're throwing them to the wolves. It's sink or swim, right? Throw them out there, see what they do. And then we'll deal with the complaints when they come through Backlooper, right? That's how it happens.
Well, and not only that, but then you're dealing with a higher turnover rate in an industry where we already have an exceedingly high turnover rate just because of the inherent nature of the age of who we bring into the mix with that. I mean, my very first shift when I worked, my first job in high school was at a laser tag facility. And I walked in, like, I hadn't even gotten my polo yet. And they're like, here's your polo. Great. Hop on the redemption counter. Well, arguably, the redemption counter is one of the best, like, opportunities to make a great guest experience, right? Where you can ham it up. You can, it's the last thing that they're typically doing before they leave. And so, you know, looking back, like, fortunately, I crushed it. But, you know, no.
Of course you did.
You're the best at being humble.
I'm awesome at being humble. No, so it's one of those where, fortunately, like, I made it through, but that is not a great model for making sure, like, you're spending all of this time looking for the right candidates and getting the right people, someone that doesn't just pass the breath test where they can fog a mirror. And now, if you're not reinforcing or cultivating, growing the things that you want out of that, it can get really sideways. And it's going to be the candle will burn at both ends. Like you mentioned, one, you're going to get the negative customer feedback just because the employee didn't know what to do. And you're going to lose employees faster when you're not taking the time for that, for sure.
And then because Absolutely. Of that turnover aspect of it, this now, you know, increases your turnover, which forces you to continue with this practice of saying, we need you out there now. Right. And then, you know, it just escalates from there versus, you know, that proactive upfront saying, yeah, it is a little bit more time. It's more resources. It's more training budget, but it ultimately results in a better employee and guest experience in the long run.
Well, and that drives higher revenue spends per capita. I mean, so this is this piece where there's the dichotomy and the balance in here, right? Where not only does it help us live our why, but it makes sure that we're in a financial position to continue fighting another day and doing that infinite game, right? This is what allows us to continue being in business, right? It's a basic rule of the road that we have to start paying that extra attention to now. And it has beautiful philanthropic benefits, and it has beautiful, you know, just hard numbers benefits to it as well. So there are two mentalities that are both served through that approach, I feel.
Yeah, and I think the culture building, we could spend an entire 2.5-day event on culture building because it's hard work. It's, I mean, there's no magic bullet to make it super easy, right? And one of the things that later today, we have Craig Buster from Wild Island. And when we were talking with him preparing for the interview that we're going to do, we found out, so it's an indoor water park and FEC combination, that he has, I think it's 22 managers on staff because it's a large facility. The average tenure is 16 years, which is unheard of in our industry. Mm-hmm. And so there are at least little things that we can do to help build that culture. And one of the things, Matt, that you had mentioned of being consistent with asking your employees, how are you doing? What's going well with the team, et cetera? I think that's really important. And someone on here, Rebecca, had asked, when you have those conversations, which is a very informal piece, it's not like a formal written survey that they're gonna do, do you have any tips on the best ways to document that so you can start tracking this data over time without making it feel clinical?
Sure. So there's obviously umpteen ways, excuse me, to document it. There's apps, there's all kinds of software out there. I think you have to find what's going to work for you that's quick and easy and easily accessible, right? I will be honest with you. I had, when I was, you know, before smartphones, this was my documentation, was a piece of paper. I folded it up, I put it in my pocket, and I had a pen. That was my documentation. And then when I'd go back to my office, because I tried to spend as much time out in the park as I could, when I would go back to the office, then I could kind of put it in an Excel sheet or, you know, wherever I wanted to put it. But the best practice is it's got to be something that's easy for you to use. So if it's hard to get kind of started, you're not going to do it. You're going to procrastinate, right? If it's hard for other people to access it, they're not going to do it. So even just to start, if you have a shared Excel file, a Google Doc, then it's Excel file, and you've got, you know, people's name, especially if you don't have like a learning management system or something like that, which I know a lot of places don't, and that's okay. You've got that person's name and you've got a date and you've got, you know, here's what they did. Here's my observation. And that's something that each of the managers can then access. Keep it simple. Right. I think that's the best advice, especially at the beginning. And then if you want to work into something that is a little bit more robust and ties into a learning management system or ties into other, you know, HR functions, then absolutely you could do that. But to me, it's about keeping it simple and doing it and being consistent with it so that you're doing it all the time. You're doing it every day when you're having those informal conversations.
I appreciate that you're being consistent about talking about consistency.
Nice.
Yes.
Classic. So Josh, what, as you're looking through and working with folks as they are, you know, we do want to consistently execute this and we want it to be a platform that we can consistently bring in data points. What are some of those data points that we should really be paying attention to? Like those key performance indicators or KPIs that are like, man, here are my, you know, top ones that I can use these consistently across the board to start implementing or having data to have actionable results that I can take away from that.
Sure. Yeah. So there's definitely, you know, several that come to mind off the top of my head that I see getting the most attention with guest feedback. I mean, perception of price is always going to be something that will always be there. And notice how I said perception of price, because this is the guest feedback component of it. This isn't just saying you are too expensive. It's just what guests feel. Tying that in with value, adding in things, service, cleanliness has always been big. Now it's 1,000 times more important. And that ties in with safety and sanitation. Crowds, wait times are things that come up often that should be, I would say, hot button issues that should be regularly on your radar. But the important thing to recognize, though, too, is with all of those, that's going to vary in importance and priority from one facility to the next, even within, you know, a consistent chain. There might be some KPIs that are generating, you know, higher priority than others. And that's one of the important things about tying in some form of open-ended type of guest feedback. If you're doing a, you know, a survey program to measure, you know, these KPIs that I mentioned or any others, that's great. But being able to also give guests the opportunity to share with you what are the issues, what are the perceptions that also impacted their visit, both positive and negative, that now you're able to add these up and say, you know what, we are focusing on this area a lot, but based on the feedback we're getting from guests, we should also be focusing on this, which maybe we thought was a lower priority, but our guests, as a unified voice, are telling us otherwise.
So with that, Josh, and some of these KPIs that you want to focus on, what about the timing of when you ask for this information and the delivery mechanism? Does that vary based upon the type of information you're asking for?
Yeah, I would say it varies based on the type of information you're asking for and also how your guests are interacting with your facility. So kind of going back to what we were sort of talking about earlier is the importance of the on-site component, which is, you know, part of the duration of their visit. So hopefully it's something that will impact the remainder of their visit in a positive way, as well as the post-visit component as well. So when we're talking about the on-site piece of it, kind of going back to the example earlier of the woman sitting on the bench of walking up to, and even Matt talked about this from an employee standpoint, that sometimes those informal conversational components are going to yield, you know, you can call it data if you want, but it's feedback and it's about that relationship really that you're building, that you're able to have that impact on that guest in particular. You're now able to extract the data from that and say, okay, this is what now needs to be measured that happened on this day at this time. This guest has now, you know, been served properly. from a post-visit standpoint, you know, it's important to strike when the iron's hot. I always say within 24 hours, hopefully, of their visit, that they are getting some form of prompt for feedback that gives them the opportunity to share the experience while it's still fresh in their mind, but they've had the opportunity to, I would say, process it a little bit more so that maybe if it was something that they were angry about, hopefully they've kind of come down a couple notches. But even if they haven't, you know, being able to get that through a private channel, ideally you want to have some sort of, you know, collection mechanism in place so that you're not just learning about it from, you know, when they post on Yelp or Google reviews or Facebook or TripAdvisor.
I've got a question here that came through that I think is a really great one from Rich Delvecchio that he sent in. So, and this is applicable for what's happening right now. And I think, Matt, we'll probably go to you first on this. Okay. Do you have any suggestions for customer service techniques for social distancing? What are the best ways to engage with employees when you can't really be that physically close to them?
Absolutely. And that's where I think body language comes into play much more so than it might have in the past. You know, I was talking to someone, you know, early on in this, and they said, you know, we have to think of our employees now sort of as fuzzy head characters, right? When you are in a costume like that, you don't have the facial recognition, right? So all of your gestures have to be much bigger. All of your communication has to be exaggerated. So if you're waving at someone, you know, in a glove that's part of that costume, they're not going to see it, right? So you wave a little bit bigger, right? And the other thing is that, yes, with social distancing or physical distancing, you're not going to get as much of the eye contact, but you should still try to maintain that, even from 6 feet away. Try to maintain the eye contact because people will tap into that or tie into that you really do care if you're making eye contact with them. I think the other thing, kind of a misnomer about masks, is that you can't see somebody smile, but I truly believe you can. And, you know, if you smile, your whole face changes, right? And for some people, their whole body language changes. So continue to encourage people to smile. And it's not just about saying to your employees, go smile, right? It's about creating an environment where they want to smile, where they're naturally smiling. So they feel supported. They feel like they're working for someone that cares about them consistently. But all those things kind of help you communicate those things over a greater distance, especially the body language and the eye contact.
Yeah. Well, Danny, you had an interesting question too that I wanted to make sure we threw into the mix. You had mentioned what we were talking before we went live was this idea of improving issues, like which is more important, improving issues or leaning into strengths to help you differentiate from competitors. And so, well, talk to me a little bit of your thoughts behind that question, and then let's get Matt and Josh kind of exploring that a little bit with us.
Yeah, so like in my mind, right, everyone, every business, every person, every entity has both strengths and weaknesses. And there is a balance of, okay, the strengths are what differentiate us from everybody else, from our competitors. Those are the things we can lean into to really focus on to drive home our unique selling proposition or whatever you want to call that. But at the same time, we can't necessarily just ignore our weaknesses and just let those glaring things grow over time. So what is your philosophy on how to balance each of those things?
Sure. I'll take that from the guest feedback side of it. And, you know, when you're looking at the variety of all the type of feedback that you're getting in from your guests, you have areas that you need to fix and improve upon, and you hopefully are going to have a lot more areas that you need to celebrate. And there really is that balance of leveraging your strengths, you know, whether it's from a competitive differentiation or at least being able to internally communicate, hey, these are what guests are saying were just the most memorable aspects of their visit. And this is what they really enjoyed about it. And hopefully, you know, guests are tying in specific encounters with staff members in it. And those are awesome opportunities for employee recognition. But also at the same time, hopefully you're getting a lot of very constructive feedback as well that makes you say, we hadn't previously thought about this aspect over here. And now we need to work on improving this so that we are able to improve perceptions in this area. So now we have even more to celebrate when more feedback comes in. We see that we're actually filling in certain gaps and smoothing out friction points.
And I would agree with that from an employee standpoint, that there is a balance, right? I think the difference is that you can get your employees engaged in this process, right? So don't think that this is something that you as the CEO or the general manager or the department manager has to tackle on your own. You know, if you've got certain things that you're seeing are going well, like with your staff, these are the things that are going well with our staff. Let's get some other folks involved with that. So even some of your frontline folks and say, how can we make this even better? But then also taking a look at, you know, the things that might not be going so well with your staff. Again, get maybe a different group of people together and say, here's what you're saying. How can we make some inroads here? How can we make this better and allow them to be part of that process? Because that just increases engagement overall. And then it's not a solution that you're prescribing to them. It's a solution that they came up with. And we all know when we have an idea, we are much more bought in because it's our idea and we're much more likely to support it.
I had just a couple other things to share that I think both of you with your background and experience will appreciate where this comes from, but this is related to the engaging with customers during physical distancing. And these are things that now or before COVID, when things were, quote, normal, to use lack of a better word, that are really good ways that I learned working at Disney World down in Orlando that we got taught, because Disney has, they pay very close attention to the small details, one of which was oftentimes you're going to be pointing at stuff like, where are the restrooms? Where's this attraction? All that stuff. But when you point, they say don't use a one finger point because it just feels really aggressive, even subconsciously. It's either use two fingers when you point or use a whole hand. And that can make a difference to soften that. And the other one that I think is even more important, because we have a lot of kids at these entertainment facilities. And so we're working with customers who are kids all the time. And one of the best ways to engage with kids, don't look down and talk to them. Literally get on their level, get down on a knee and have a conversation. And that alone makes a huge difference for them. And the parent loves it because they're like, oh my gosh, they care so much. They're actually going to get down on a knee to talk to my kid. And I think those are two good tips I just wanted to share for people who might find value in those.
That's excellent. And Danny, I'll take that one step further. You know, you might have guests who are in a wheelchair, you know, in your facility, and, you know, oftentimes we will talk to the caretaker or the person with them about that person, but they're right there, right? So get down on their level, talk to that person, because they are a person first, and then there's some affliction that they have that is, you know, impacting their mobility or whatever the case may be. So make sure that you're talking to that person as well, not just their caregiver.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's a really, really great tip. And I think we'll go, we got just a couple minutes left in this session. I wanted to go with one more question that came in from, let's see who shared this. Looks like Nikisha sent this in. With labor costs always being a concern in this industry, because it's one of the biggest line item expenses that we have, what is your philosophy on whether or not someone should have a full-time greeter out front of their business when guests walk in?
So I'm going to take that just for a second, because I know Josh has some thoughts on this as well. But my thought is that if you can show that that person is having a positive impact on the experience, you know, and even if it's a small impact, a small positive impact, I think it's really helpful. So that person can help set the stage. That person can be your greeter. You're like, woohoo, you know, and really help people experience the entire attraction. So if that can help eliminate confusion, that can help, you know, inspire a purchase later on, then I think it's absolutely worth it. I think the other thing that's really important about that is you have to have the right person out there, and they have to be doing exactly what you want them to do, so that they are creating the right kind of experience. Otherwise, again, you're going to get those reviews from Backlooper or from wherever that say, we just didn't have a good experience. And there was this dud standing out front, and all they did was say, next, come on in. Put your mask on, right? So that person has to be doing the work that you want them to be doing.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, just to echo Matt's comments and, you know, and to expand on that, that it kind of goes back to that idea of anticipating guest needs, that if you have a row of kiosks that are greeting your guests when they come in, and if it isn't super intuitive to someone who has no idea what's going on, then they might walk into the facility and say, I have no idea what to do. Do I need to do something with this? Do I need to find a person? I don't know where to go. So if you have that greeter, and like Matt said, being personable and proactive and outgoing and offering that assistance and making that assumption that the guest has no idea what to do, then it helps them begin their experience better. So there's the service aspect of it, the experience that they're going to have a better time because they had the better first impression. But also, you know, if the kiosk is the purchase and the point of sale component, and you have someone who's guiding people through that process, and you say, hey, by the way, just letting you know, you get an accelerator if you get the, you know, X dollar card versus, you know, X dollar card, then hopefully that's going to translate into very tangible revenue that is directly associated with that person being there of assistance, even if you don't have a formal cashier or box office in place.
Well, that's fantastic. I think that's a great spot for us to end, because I could go on this topic for a long, long time, as I'm sure you could too. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us and sharing some insights with our attendees here. We really, really appreciate that.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for listening to the Attraction Pros Podcast.
Make sure to subscribe so you can tune in when new episodes release, and even better, please leave us a review on iTunes.
For more information, visit attractionpros.com.